chapter or in a more thematic one. I have chosen the two latter options, which I believe are better suited to explain what made Dirac such an outstanding and remarkably creative physicist. Also, they allow more room for the biographer to point out connections that were scarcely recognized at the time. The book is slim enough to be read from beginning to end in a relatively short time span, allowing the reader to remember the material from one chapter to another. For this reason, I have no qualms about referring in some of the early chapters to topics that will be mentioned only later on in the book. Although the chapters roughly follow a chronological pattern, a few of them cover much of Dirac's life, and some beyond it, focusing on themes that were not time-sensitive or specific to a particular scientific work. Some parts of a scientist's work, as well as its historical significance within a broader context, can only be properly evaluated with the passage of time. As I did in my 1990 monograph, here too I have chosen to pay attention to aspects of a more general, methodological and philosophical nature. Dirac was not a philosopher, but one does not need to dig deeply into his work to find assumptions and guiding themes that can best be characterized as philosophical. The most original of these themes, and the one he felt most committed to, was the so-called principle of mathematical beauty. It is more than a little surprising that the emotionally restricted Dirac, an almost inhuman worshipper of rationality and logic in science as well as in life, should develop such a strong commitment to the nebulous concept of beauty. He seriously believed that a theory of great mathematical aesthetic should be preferred over a less beautiful rival theory, even if the latter were empirically superior. But isn't beauty in the eye of the beholder? Chapter 1. Strangeness and Genius. At the turn of the millennium in the year 2000, a senior Italian physicist reflected on which individual had had the greatest influence on 20th century physics. Paul Dirac had a much bigger impact on modern science in the 20th century than Albert Einstein, he concluded. Paul Dirac? Who was he? While Einstein is the undisputed icon of modern theoretical physics, Dirac is little known outside the physics community, certainly less so than Niels Bohr, Werner Heisenberg, Erwin Schrödinger, and Richard Feynman. And yet Dirac unquestionably was a creative physicist of the same elevated rank, and his relative anonymity is unwarranted. For one, Einstein recognized his genius early on. While trying, in 1926, to understand a paper by the then 24-year-old British physicist, who, at the time, was unknown to him, Einstein wrote in a letter almost in despair, "I have trouble with Dirac. This balancing on the dizzying path between genius and madness is awful." Paul Adrian Maurice Dirac, for that was his full name, was a late prodigy. Born on August the 8th, 1902, in Bristol, the second child of Charles Dirac and Florence, née Halton, Paul had two siblings, an older brother, Reginald, who committed suicide at 24, and a younger sister, Beatrice. His father was a French-speaking Swiss immigrant who had settled in Bristol around 1890, and, for this reason, Paul was registered as Swiss by birth. Only in 1919, when he was 17 years old, did he acquire British nationality. The family lived in a small house on 15 Monk Road in suburban Bristol, a location unlikely to attract tourists. Today, a plaque informs passers-by of the building's erstwhile occupant. Nobel Prize laureate in 1933, who revealed the secrets of quantum physics and antimatter. In 1913, the Dirac family moved to a bigger and more expensive home at 6 Julius Road in another part of Bristol. Paul had a rather unhappy childhood and youth, primarily the result of his authoritarian father's distaste for social